He is risen. Amen. He's alive. And yes, really every Sunday is a celebration of that. But this week we set aside to commemorate it is extra special. And I think it's important that we value and ask ourselves personally what we are going to do with it. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. One verse is a text this morning. While you're turning there, I'm going to start reading in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those verses summarize the meaning of why Jesus came to earth. And then my text this morning. There's a question I have. I don't have an answer this morning. I just have a question. Jump over to chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul is speaking here. And he says, before he's saying, he's counting all things at lost, but this one thing he wants, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What is the power of the resurrection? How would you answer that this morning? There's got to be something there because Paul says he wants to know Christ because he wants to claim that power. So as we celebrate Jesus arising from the dead, how are you claiming that power? How do you? What is that power? That's the question I want us to think about this morning. And this morning, I just have a simple story. We're going to review the story of, I guess I'm going to call it Passion Week. So we're going to look back. And as we review this story, events and details we know, we've heard, I want to review it so that we are filled with joy and power. As we leave this morning, I want us to be filled with joy and power. So we're going to be doing a couple different things this morning to help us with that. First of all, children, I need your help. So come on front, children. We're going to sit in the center aisle. I have some questions for you. Come on front. I'm not scared. Have a seat on the floor. I love it. All right, now that we're all gathered, what is this morning? Or what is today? Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday. Why do we celebrate Easter? It's when Jesus arose from the dead. Why did he die?
Because from the cross.
Yes, he died on the cross. Why did they put him on the cross? Bad meant he died for our sins. You see, I always thought the cross was a punishment for somebody who did wrong. Did Jesus do wrong?
No.
So, why did he have to die? He died for our sins. Wait, are you a sinner? Am I a sinner? Why are we a sinner? I have a question. Who was the first man and woman? Adam and Eve. Do you remember that story? God created Adam and Eve, and they were in the garden. Was it perfect? Yes, it was perfect. No weeds to pull. Yeah, as springtime and summer's coming, there might be some weeds. It was perfection. There was beautiful trees. They were walking with the lions and the tigers. It was amazing. And God had a good relationship with them. And then what happened? Eve took of the fruit. Satan came in the form of a snake. And Eve took of the tree that they weren't supposed to take. Did Adam eat it with her? Yes. Eve took the fruit to Adam, and Adam ate with her. And because of that, sin entered the world. So because of Adam and Eve's choice, God came, and what did he do to them? He kicked them out of the garden. And he said, because of your sin, you're going to have to pull weeds. You're going to have to work hard. You are now a sinner. And then all through the Old Testament, they had to make sacrifices for their sin. But he gave them a promise. What was the promise? He's going to send the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus. So that's why we celebrate Easter. Because Adam and Eve sinned. And I want us to remember, as we go back to our parents, we are all sinners. And the reason we celebrate Easter is because Jesus died and he rose. Thank you for coming up this morning. You can head back to your parents. Good job, parents. They know something. I love to hear children answer questions. It's beautiful. Brothers and sisters, that's why we celebrate Easter. The story starts back in the garden of when sin entered the world. And this is a culmination of the promise that God had. It was his plan. The ultimate sacrifice had to come. So what happened in Passion Week? Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. And that was a day, Jesus came to earth as a baby. He was 30 till he started his ministry. He walked with his disciples. He was teaching. He was healing. Finally, he knew it was his time. So he headed to Jerusalem. And when he wanted to head to Jerusalem, the disciples said, "Are you sure?" Because they knew people didn't like him. On their way into Jerusalem, or when he was ready to enter, he sent the disciples ahead, got a donkey, it was never ridden before, and rode it in. And as he entered Jerusalem, what were they doing? What were they saying? Hosanna! Hosanna! They were shouting Hosanna. They were taking off their coats. They were throwing it on the ground for the donkey and Jesus to pass over. Palm branches. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. A beautiful celebration. I wonder what was going through the disciples' mind as this is happening. Oh, maybe people like us after all. I don't know. But this was the start of a week. I wonder what was going through Jesus' mind as he knew the same people who were shouting Hosanna would quickly change their shouting to something else. This morning, as we look at the story of the Passion Week, we're going to be singing some songs as we do it, and I hope the songs can speak. So take out your songs of faith and praise, first of all, and turn to number 167. As we think about Jesus entering Jerusalem and the people shouting, "Hosanna," let's sing Hosanna. 167 in the songs of faith and praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, my God. That is what they were shouting. And then as they gathered in Jerusalem, Jesus with his disciples, they went to the temple. Jesus continued to do some healings. And then came the time for the Passover. So Jesus sent his disciples ahead. He says, hey, prepare a room. Get the food ready. And in a couple weeks, 2 weeks, we're going to have communion here. And it's commemoration of that Last Supper. And as Jesus gathered with his disciples, a beautiful time of fellowship, he shared some things with them to remember his death, to remember his broken body, his blood that he shared. It was a beautiful time together before they went out to the garden. Next song this morning, I'd like us to sing Come Share the Lord, number 364. In your songs of faith and praise again, Come Share the Lord. And I forgot to mention, we're going to be singing a couple songs this morning. And as we sing, this Tuesday is a year since Brother Dan Hurst passed away. And as I was thinking about singing and Easter and celebration, my mind went to Dan. So as we're singing this morning, this is kind of in dedication to Dan and to remember him. Come Share the Lord.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No.
As the disciples gathered around that Passover, the Last Supper with Jesus, they ended their time together. And where did they head? To the garden. There they spent some time in prayer. And this week, we call it the Passion Week, I was trying to dwell on the things that were happening. And as Jesus went to the garden, he asked his disciples to do what? Pray. And he would go off to pray. He would come back and he would find him sleeping. Then he would wake him up and say, oh, pray. He would go back to pray. And in this prayer time, he felt the agony. He felt the cup. He knew it was coming. He asked the Father to take it, but he said, not my will, but yours be done. And then finally the soldiers come. We were talking about Peter. Peter picks up his sword. He's ready to fight. He's bold. Jesus rebukes him, heals the ear that Peter cut off. They take him into custody. They send him to trial. An interesting thing in this trial, Luke 23 says that Pilate and Herod became friends. Interesting tidbit as I was dwelling on the stories. Pilate and Herod became friends through this trial of Jesus. I have questions there. Also in this time, Peter arrives in the scene again, and when asked, "Oh, you were with Jesus," he denies three times. What would have you done? The rooster crows, and Peter is in shame. As Jesus is whipped and beaten, the time has come for his crucifixion. I was introduced to a poem and song recently, and so instead of describing the details of the crucifixion, I'm going to read this at this time. And I want us to get a grasp of what Jesus has went through, because that's going to lead us to joy at what we are celebrating today. Watch the Lamb. This is written in the context of a man with his sons headed to Jerusalem to sacrifice for the Passover. Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. "Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much we don't understand." So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, "Dear children, watch the Lamb. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away." And I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And I said, "Dear children, watch the Lamb." When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There was no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship song. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, "Crucify him!" We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in the drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this road was men condemned to die? Why are we standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, "Even now they come." The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I can still hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, "There's Jesus." I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross, falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. To a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "You, carry his cross." At first, I tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword. So I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. Yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit," he prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, "Father, forgive us. The Lamb ran away. Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much we don't understand." So I took them in my arms. We turned and faced the cross. Then I said, "Dear children, watch the Lamb." That is a quick recount of the story of Jesus going to the cross. But we know now, we are in the middle of the story as we heard, as he didn't remain there on the cross. And that is why we celebrate, because it's different than any other religion. He didn't stay dead. And that was the ultimate power that defeated Satan. What happens next? His followers take down his body. Joseph gives of his tomb to bury Jesus. The stone is rolled in place. The soldiers guard the tomb. And then Sabbath came. And what could they do but wait? The first day of the week rolled around, and the three ladies headed into the tomb to add spices to the body. On their way, they said, "How are we going to roll away the stone?" As they got there, what did they find? The stone is rolled away. "Who has taken his body?" is what they said. And in that account, Jesus reveals himself to Mary. They go back and tell the disciples. The disciples come running to check for themselves. They go in and no, he's gone. Jesus appears to them in various ways. And that is the story of Jesus from the cross. And he is no longer in the grave, but he is risen. And now the question I pose this morning is, what's the power? Where's the power? Paul says in Philippians here, he says, "I want to know him, that power of the resurrection I may claim as well." I think I get a little glimpse into the power that God gives. You know, Peter, he was rash and bold. What happens after Jesus is gone? He leads the disciples. He leads them. I see a change from the denial of Peter to the day at Pentecost. And he gets out there and boldly preaches Jesus' name. That, brothers and sisters, is power. And that power is available to us today. And that comes by knowing Christ. So do you know Christ? Do you know him? And I think next week we're going to dig more into that verse in Philippians, that passage there. The power of the resurrection is evident and it's real. And we need to celebrate in that. Take out your songbooks again. And turn to Songs of Faith and Praise, turn to number 179. As we celebrate our resurrected Lord, as we look back and see what he has done for us, the pain he has went through, the ultimate sacrifice he paid for us. He is our Lord. Number 179, he is Lord.
He is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead.
Number 346. We sang this one already this morning, but I think it speaks volumes. Why don't we stand to sing this one, and we're going to sing verse 2, the one that we skipped this morning. He lives, and sing it. We have something to celebrate. We have a power to grasp this morning. Let's celebrate that. Verse 2 of 346.
In all the world around me, I see his loving care, and
song, as we think about celebrating his resurrection, I think about the song, Behold Our God. So I would like to sing it here this morning, sing out as we think about our resurrected Lord.
Who has held the oceans in his hand? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Who has
to be filled with joy. And I question I leave with you, are you going to seek to know him to be filled with that power? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son. We don't deserve it, but you gave it to us. Thank you that he went to the cross to be the ultimate sacrifice. And this morning we celebrate his resurrection and we say thank you. And in the power of the resurrection we can live. And I pray that we would seek to know you so we can be filled with joy and the power of that same resurrection. Take us as we go from here. Help us to share this joy and this power with others we come in contact with. In your name we pray. Amen.